best way, because my personality can sometimes be interpreted as arrogant or maybe a bit angry, or people are afraid of me for some reason. I don't know why, because of that. But yeah, I'm not that type of person, actually. I actually love people, and I just sometimes come a bit overzealous. But thank God for His word and just His way that He approaches this, because this really got me to thinking after I spoke to this person. I really meditated on what He said to me, and it was something that really stuck in my heart. And it's something I love preaching about, things that's in my heart. And this is the question that I have for you today, and it's a trick question. And you will see later on why. Is it better to be a son or a slave? Who wants to be a slave? Who wants to be a son? Now all the hands must go up. Okay, who wants to be a son? In the context of whatever. It can be church. It can be even in the dark ages back where people were enslaved. In whatever context you can want to look at it, you can look at it and tell me if you want to be a son in a house or if you want to be a slave. All the sons, raise your hands. Remember, sons is relationship. A real daughter, not a son, but a relationship. Okay. So everybody wants to be a son. And this is now where the interactive part starts. I will not ask Pastor Philip today because, yes, I will not ask him. I want him to see his flock and see the sheep and the people around him, what's in their hearts. What's the difference between a son and a slave? I want you to think about that, because I want you to give me an answer. I will give you the mic and I will answer. Each one of you will get the mic and you will give me an answer. I will start with Philip because he always has interesting answers. The other Philip. Not Pastor Philip, the other Philip. Okay, I will ask that question again if it's not there. What's the difference between being a son and a slave?
I think a son, especially a slave, is not by your own free will. When we are enslaved, that's not a choice. And yet it is a choice. And a son is a place of where we stand in inheritance. And a son is where we're in a home, where we belong. We are part of a family. We're part of a community. And oh, that's mine.
I think, as Philip said, a slave is not something that you have by choice. It's like, I would say it's like a little bit like bondage. But a son is something that, you know, you are there like in a household where you have to be looked after, and, you know, you have privileges. You know, the slave and the son, they don't have the same privileges.
I think a son is somebody that has rights and they freely enjoy those rights. And a slave is, you know, you've got rights, but you don't have access to enjoy them freely.
When we are talking about a slave is vulnerable to, okay, a slave is subject to abuse and he does not have a free will. But when you're talking about a son has got access to everything that he wants. He's got, he can access his free will at any time.
I think for me, a son... Oh, wait, let me start with the slave first. A slave is someone who's owned by someone else. That means you basically submit to them and you do whatever they ask you to do. And you don't have ownership of anything. And as if you are freed, like back in the days, you are freed, then you can have rights to anything. A son is someone who's born in the house and they have the rights to ownership. They have the rights to inheritance. And they are also groomed in the way that they're going to have to lead maybe that household in the future or whatever. Yeah, that's the.
Ek dink 'n slaaf is iemand wat hy's vasgehou, hy't nie vryheid hê's op sy hy word almekaar geslaan om sy werk te doen en so. Dit is nie van lekker nie. Ek dink 'n son is iemand wat jy weet jy't vir God en jy's vryheid. En jy kan altyd as jy probleme het, na hom toe hardloop, hy sal altyd vir jou help. Dis wat 'n son is.
'n Slave for me is a nobody, a nothing. Knows nothing. He's kept in the dark. Just lives there. But a son is the person that is in the place where he needs to be, gets all the warmth and the love, the identification. Everything is free for him and stuff like that.
A slave is more like a one-directional relationship. A slave is a master, and what the master says, the slave will do. A son has a father. It's more of a two-directional relationship where a son can communicate to his father, and a father communicate to his son.
Yeah, a slave is definitely, it's you working because that's what you have to do. You're there because you have to be there. You don't take ownership, you don't take responsibility. You're doing work or you're doing a job because that's what is required. But you only do what is required. Where the son takes ownership. A son takes pride in what he's doing. A son has got that relationship with a father where if you're on a farm and there's a drought, you will put in more time, you'll put in more effort for the farm so that the benefit is not personal, but it's for the benefit of the family. And you understand that relationship, you understand the family bond.
Difference between a slave and a son. The slave has to work to live. With other words, everything that he works for, he doesn't really own. It belongs to somebody else. All that he works for, he never gets to own. And he basically works to live. And then a son, on the other hand, is entitled to the inheritance. He is somehow co-owner of what the father has, or is the sole heir to what the father has. If you compare the two, the son has already earned by birth and by birthright, and so he lives out of a place of he already has. But the slave works to earn a portion or a little bit of something just to get by.
Amen. Somebody. Accurate answers. And that's basically to get you thinking. Because later on you will see there's a bit of a twist to this question. But yes, basically I summed that up in 2 points as well, which Philip actually, I should have asked him last because he basically quoted me as well. Basically there's the major differences between a slave and a son. Is a choice and an inheritance. And that inheritance basically is your birthright. It should be there. That's solely the... And that's not much of a difference if you look at it. If you take all, everything that the son has and what the slave has and their lives, those two are so small yet so significant in what they mean to those individuals. Because there's so many things that the slave and the son does, but there's a difference in attitude and heart and what's the word? And the reason for doing it, there's no word, I can't remember it, but the reason for why he's doing it. Now the son can be commanded to do something as well, just as the slave. And there's something that's so critical, that's so important, because it was a question that just popped into my heart that I realized was so, that carries so much weight. If this is not achieved, and unfortunately in the world, fathers lose it here because they don't understand what is in the father's heart. And the Bible is such a beautiful example of what the father's heart is all about. Because the next question is, what is lost? Now you might be asking, why am I asking that question? And this is something that the reason why this was so profound to me is, what is lost if a father turns his son into a slave? The son loses, but the father also loses. What is the father losing? The son is losing his choice, and he might be losing his inheritance, which you see so many times in this world. Because they lose that. But there's something critical that the father is also losing. And this was so profound for me. It was just, I had to stop there and say, but this is almost life-changing for me. And you have to actually start at the beginning of God's word. And that's, we all know well. I must almost ask you to quote it, but I will not ask you now. But it's in Exodus 20, verse 12, as well as Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, for that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you, as well as Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. And it speaks of honor. Honor that parents receive from the children. I'll give you a while just to think about that. What does it mean to honor your parents? And as parents, what does it mean to be honored by your children? Now, it can be your real mother and father. It can be in a spiritual sense, like in our church, where there's a father and you have to honor him. Whether Father God or leaders or somebody that's above you, that you have to honor. Now, parents are also given a specific role in a child's life. And there might be difficulties in doing, because me as a parent, I don't get everything 100%. I make many mistakes with my children. But God has just given me a heart to be able to go back to my children and just say, listen, sorry for what I did. It was wrong of me. You were not supposed to get a hiding there. I misinterpreted the situation. I accidentally gave you a hiding. So I have to apologize. I'm sorry that I spanked you. Or that I accidentally ate your chocolate. So there are many things, but that honor is something that I don't even understand. And that's why I prayed so earnestly before I started, because there is something in my heart that is so profound, yet I don't know how to bring it across, or how to describe it, or because it feels like it's so insignificant, almost like the two differences between a slave and a son. It's almost insignificant, yet it is so profound that you have to really sit and think about it. You have to go back and really study the word. Now, what does it mean to honor? I just got a definition from the internet quickly. Regard with great respect. I'm going to get my tongue twisted. Synonymous. Synonym. Synonyms, okay. But it's almost the same as synonymous. Not. Okay, I stand corrected. My English is not what I hoped it was. Okay, hold in great respect, hold in high esteem, have a high regard for, esteem, respect, admire, defer to, look up to, think highly of, appreciate, value, prize, cherish, reverence, revere, venerate, worship. So there's a lot of those connotations that actually goes to God as well, but there's a different honor to God that you have to your parents or to leadership or to things like that. But honor is so profound in what happens in a relationship between a mother, father, and a child. And unfortunately, it is perverted in this generation. So many things that's happening, so many things that's going wrong. And that is something that you really have to think about, something you really have to go and be thankful for if you have it in your life. And I mean, it's something that you really have to cherish. And it's something that I also realized in my own heart as a father, when you have children, it is an amazing gift that you receive, because you literally receive life into your hands and you must preserve it. But more than preserve it, you must actually help it grow, develop, nurture it. And it's almost like a farmer looking at his fields. There's a sense of pride. There's a sense of being. When you look at your handiwork, and there's something that you can see that you've done this. And for me, it's almost the same as in children, because you try and raise your children. Now, I don't know how you do it without this book. I literally don't. Because there are so many truths and wisdoms and wisdom that you receive from this that you are just able to pour into your children's lives. And for me, it was quite difficult for, I actually testified about this already, that I have an ungodly father, even still today. He chooses not to acknowledge God or acknowledge his existence even. But when I started my walk with God, I was very unforgiving towards him, because he was not a very moral man, and he was not a godly man. Let's just put it like that. So the example that I had to follow was not one that I could actually, it did not coincide with when I made my choice to follow Christ. It was difficult to honor my father because of his lifestyle, and my lifestyle were completely opposite directions. And there was a lot of unforgiveness and resentment towards my father, because I felt, but you should be showing me this. You should have taught me this. You should be the one leading me in such a way, yet you are not. And I just came to an amazing point where God just led me and told me, but you have to honor your father, even if he's wrong. You don't have to do what he does, but you can still honor him. You can still look at his life and look at what is good, what is godly. Even if there is not much, but you can still look at it and honor him for the wise choices that he's made, the good characteristics that he has. And it was something I will never forget when I did. It was still F3 then, part of the foundation course that we did, which is now the encounter course. But to forgive your father, you had to write a letter to tell him what you feel in your heart, and that you respect him and that you love him. And that was such an eye-opener for me, and just my own heart, just to change my attitude towards my father and just speak that forgiveness and speak that life. And that really brought me to a place where you can start to understand God's heart, how he wants to use us, where he wants to use us. In the circumstances that you experience, it might be difficult, but he's still there with us. He still wants to use you in those circumstances. And all this was just such a profound message come brought to me together, actually, with the story of the prodigal son that we read in Luke 15 from verse 11 to verse 32. I'll read the whole part, then come back to certain aspects and parts of that. We'll start from verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property that is coming to me. And divided his property between them. Not many days later, the youngest son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now as the oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entered and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you have killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He is lost. He was lost and is found.'" Now that is such an amazing story of exactly these choices that we have. The difference between being a son and a slave. Because the son could come to the father and say, "Give me my inheritance, my birthright." And this is the amazing part of a father that I don't understand, that he would actually agree with the son and say, "Listen, this is your inheritance. You can take this part and do with it what you will." Because in my mind, for a father to do that, that is just my earthly understanding. I do not understand it, but it just goes to show you the choice that a son has. And this father agreeing to say, "But you've made a choice, and I will honor that choice. I don't agree with it, but if this is what you want, this is what you need, you may take it." And lo and behold, the son go and waste it and loses it all. And this is just where we we almost want to say, "Yes, I told you so. And this is just where the father's heart comes to the fore and say, "But there's something different here." And there's something about the prodigal son that we'll also come back to a bit later. But it's just in this place where we have to understand that God has a son. We are his sons and daughters. And we are supposed to honor him in that regard as well. And that honor, we have a choice. But we also don't have a choice. Because for us as Christians, we have the choice of obeying God or disobeying God. And disobeying God has severe consequences. So it's not a good choice to make. But being in the will of the Father, obeying God, is a choice that allows us to experience his blessing, his life, and life in abundance. And this is what this young son realized while he was with the pigs and was hungry. He just had this realization that my father's servants has got more than I have currently. So if I go to my father, I will just tell him to make me a slave. I choose to be a slave rather than sit here with nothing after everything I've had in the world, and now I've lost everything. And it's just a place where we so many times are hungry for his word, hungry for his love, and we're looking for it in the wrong places. And that's just that place that God just wants to reveal his heart, but he cannot do it in the situations we are in. And he wants to give us that realization of where we are and where he is. And we come to a point of repentance, just saying, "God, I've missed you. I've missed your heart for me. I've missed where you wanted me to be. Which this son realized and said, but I will go to my father. And there was just a road that he had to travel back as well. Because now I put myself in his feet. I've taken my inheritance. I've squandered it. I've lost everything. There's nothing. I just have filthy rags on my body. And now I want to go back to my father's house. I'll be the laughingstock of the province. Laughingstock of the house. Because in my mind, I will go back and my father will reproach me. My earthly father, my earthly understanding is just what I'm expecting. So you have this journey that you're walking back towards your father's house, and now I don't think it took a few days. I think it took a few weeks to journey back to your father's house. So now you've got these thoughts. You've got this process that you're going through, and you're actually thinking, but there's lots of things that wants to keep you back from going back to your father's house. Pride. That we think of, we're a failure. I've not made it. Now I have to go back in shame to my father's house. And it's just such a beautiful picture of how the father responds completely contrary to what we're expecting. Where his son is still far off, might be hesitant to walk quicker because it's the house. Usually there's something, there's an expectation, there's something that you're grateful for. You want to get there quickly. It's almost like, I know in the old days, the horses, when they start, they were on a long journey, and they would come to the end of the journey, they would smell the water, and they would quicken their pace because they know the end is close. They can stop and drink water and rest. And I don't think the son was experiencing that type of rest. He was maybe in anguish because I have to go to my father. I have to repent. Well, it's actually already repented, but this is the part of the repentance that he's going towards. And just the response of the father, he runs towards him. Now there's a very important story there that the elder Jewish men, they always walked, they never ran. It was their status almost. So if you were this elder, you did not run anywhere because you were an important person. And this is just this father throwing dignity out the window and saying, this is my son. He is. And he's running towards him. Not walking, not, oh, there you are. Hugging him, jumping on him and saying, here you are. And that's such a beautiful picture of God's heart to us. Because this is not to me a natural father's response to a child that did something wrong. It should be. And that's where it's so critical for us just to understand God's word and really avail ourselves to his word and just say, God, I want to be like this. I want to be like your word says. And just to love without boundaries. And this is exactly what the father did. But he also went much further. Because now the son gets the father off and says, Father, I just want to speak with you before we can go back to the house. I've sinned against you and against God. And I actually just want to be a slave in your house. And the father is just, what are you talking about? You're my son. And this is so the significant part as well, where he calls in verse 22, but the father said to the servants, quickly, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And he just speaks of that new identity that he receives from the father. He still has that inheritance. He's still the father's son. But the father edifies him and says, listen, you're my son. You're not a slave in my house. You're my son. And he gives them that robe of identity, a new identity, where the rags that he had of the bad choices that he's made is now at the back. And he gives them this new robe. And a ring of authority. And that ring is so important as well. You can read through the whole book of the Bible where a ring signifies authority. And I actually wanted to share it as well, where Joseph, when he was appointed by the Pharaoh, when he revealed his dream to him, the king also gave him new clothes noble clothes, a fine linen, and a ring, his signet ring from his own hand, that basically his authority, that you know who you're speaking to when you see the ring. You might not know the person, but you must know the ring and the authority that it bears. In the same context, this son now receives that authority that he basically had, still has. And it's just put on him again to say, this is who you are. But it's also the son's heart of honoring the father, being able to acknowledge his mistake, just coming before the father and saying, listen, father, I've made a mistake. I just want to come into this process and just say, I want to be in your house again. In whatever capacity, whatever role you want me to be, I'll be there. And we just have the elder brother's response as well. That we sometimes have to guard our hearts against in the church as well. That we look at people and judge them according to what we feel in our hearts. That's me at least. Many times you think wrongly, you do wrongly, you don't understand certain concepts of God's kingdom. And you can just read from verse 25 to 30, this response of the brother. Now his elder brother who was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called out to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. And there's so many times that we have to guard our hearts against, because you can see the unforgiveness in this brother's heart. That he feels that this inheritance that this younger brother has received, I don't know how significant it was. It might have been very significant. But now he feels that he's wasted it. He's not my brother. You can hear in what he says to his father, this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours. And you can almost see the jealousy within him, because now this son returns and now my father is slaughtering the fattened calf. How can he give this to this man? And you know, almost in that same breath, you can see the fear. Could it be that my father loves him more than he loves me? Because I've been working for him. I never disobeyed him. Yet, here he is celebrating this man in a way that he's never celebrated me. And that's just that fear that wants to creep in, that we have to guard against. And just the father's response again in verse 33 to 32. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And there's just that place of honoring the father, saying, this is my father. His decisions is wise. And not disrespecting him in such a way that I feel obligated to respond in a different way, in a different manner than I actually should. Being a son in the father's house. Learning from the father in a way that we often forget to receive people with openness, loving forgiveness, grace, mercy, new every day for us when we receive Christ. And such a beautiful picture of God's love towards us. And it's just a beautiful picture of restoration as well. Where I can testify of a friend last year that went with us to the men's camp. And he's been living in the world for, okay, 36 years. And I can just see from his life that was completely destroyed completely distraught. I just wanted him to experience what I've experienced, and I pushed him just to come. And by grace of God, he came. And he was so touched that his life just changed profoundly. And it was just a place where he could basically repent from his ways and acknowledge God. Because God came through for him in an amazing way that he could not reject. He could not say that there is no God. Because God showed him to be real, involved, and wanting to touch our lives and change them. And he's now basically in the process of returning to the Father's house. He's made that choice. He wants to follow. But you have to walk away from what you had behind you. It might be bad. It might be good. It might be something that keeps you from going fully into the Father's house. And it's just walking that road of forgiveness, walking into grace, and experiencing the restoration of God. Him giving us a new identity. Him giving us the authority. And also the responsibility of being a son in his house. Being able to honor the Father. Being able to honor the authority over us. And that honor is, it still feels so insignificant in my words the way I say it. But it's something so profound that I need to, almost need to shout it. If I had the words, I would. And that's basically where I want to end off before we go to worship. And I want to just give this invitation. Where are you sitting here in the house of God? Are you able to receive that promises? Are you able to receive that identity? Or identify with that identity at least? What is your attitude? What is your heart? Are you in love with the Father's house? Are you giving everything you are to gain something that you might be thinking wrongly? Has the Father revealed his heart to you in such a way that you can really experience his love? Experience that relationship with him. Where's your heart today? There's so many things that God promises us and that we can hold on to in his word. That we must hold on to in his word. Because our circumstances might be such that we do not see his promises. We do not experience those promises. But it is a place that we must stand on his word. For he is not a man that he should lie. His word is true. And we have to hold on to that. We have to proclaim it. Let's just close our eyes in prayer. Father God, we just want to, Lord, we just want to ask that you just reveal your heart to us, Father. That we can have an understanding of what it means to honor you. Because, Lord, from that we are able to honor those around us, Lord God. Because if we understand your love, Lord God, we understand the principles by which you operate, Lord God, which is spirit, which is pure. Father, we will approach this world and our lives so differently. Father God, we just want to stand before you, Lord, and just proclaim your name. Father, for the joy of knowing your Son that sacrificed his life for us, that we might have life and life in abundance, that we might be set free, Father, from our past and our sins, and our previous mistakes, Father, that in such a way, Father, that it's removed from us as far as the east is removed from the west, Lord God. And by that forgiveness, Lord God, our sins are covered, Father. And you do not even bother to look at the sins, Lord, if our hearts are turned toward you, Lord God. And we repent and just walk towards you, Father. You run towards us. And that is where you want us to be, Lord God. That is where you want us to operate in your house, is to obey your word. Not because it's your word, but because we love you. And your word is important to us. And it carries a blessing with it, Father. If we are able, Lord, to follow your word and be in your will and do what you want us to do. Holy Spirit, that you would guide our every step. That you would just give us, Father, a place where we can enter into worship. And worship you in fullness and truth, Father. And have an understanding of who you are. Just understanding your heart, Lord God. Just understanding where you want to take us. And Father, that we are being taken from sons or from slaves to sons, Lord God. Sons and daughters in the house of the Most High. And it sounds so simple to say it, Lord God, but we must start living it, Lord. We must start understanding the inheritance that we've received, Lord, by the choice that we've made. An inheritance that does not stand back against this world, the kingdom of darkness in this world, Lord God, where you want to take us, Lord, and put us in a place of protection, Lord. That we are protected by the Father's hand, Lord God, and not on our own doing something that we have to do all. But Lord, that we are in your will, Father, being guided by your hand, being guided by your word, following your footsteps that you want us to follow, Father. We just want to repent, Father, of our wrong ways, our wrongdoing, our wrong thinking. Father, we just ask that you renew our hearts, Lord, that you renew our minds, and just show us exactly, Father, the way you want us to walk, Lord God, the way that you want us to live. Father, in such a way that is really, it has a profound impact, not in only in our lives, Father, but also those around us, in our families' lives, in our friends' lives. Yes, Lord God, that there's really a place that we can just stand upon your word and just confess it, Lord, as truth over our lives. And Lord, when we stand in faith upon your word, Father, you are always there to respond, Lord God. And that is something that we can proclaim and that we can just live for, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your love is enough for all our needs, for all that we want, for all our desires, Lord. And we want to place those needs and desires before you, Lord God, as an offering to say, Lord, what we have in our hearts, what we have in our minds, the understanding that we have, Lord, we just want to ask that you renew that passion inside of us, Lord God, that we can have the passion of Jesus in our hearts towards you. For he obeyed implicitly, Lord God, and gave everything that he is, Lord, just to obey you. And Father God, for that sacrifice, we are able to receive that life and just proclaim it, Father, in our own lives. And Father, we just want to seal those choices with the blood of the Lamb, Lord God. And Lord, we want to proclaim the testimonies that flows from it as well, Father God, and will testimonies that bear fruit, Lord God, and is able, Lord, just to flow, Father, and grow from strength to strength, Lord, just as a tree that is planted by the water, Father. And we can just proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. I want us to worship now. If there's anything in your heart that you feel you want to share with a congregation or somebody else or somebody specific, please just let us know and we can just share it with that person or with everybody if there's something specific. If you really have prayer, please come to the front. We'll pray with you as well. If there's any requests, please just tap somebody on the shoulder and say, listen, can you pray for me for this or for that? And let's see. Let's trust God. Because he knows more than I do. He's infinitely more wise. We can really just trust his spirit to lead us as well. So let's quickly all stand. Just ask Chriselle, can you just turn off the lights as well, please?